Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on making identity and access management real, the early days. My name is Aaron Clutter. In this session, Microsoft Consulting has been brought in to help the Contoso company improve their IT infrastructure. We'll start by looking at the infrastructure optimization model, what it is, and how using it can help an IT infrastructure change its motto from "We fight fires" to "We're a strategic asset." Our role as consultants is to let the IO model help guide us as we evaluate the current situation at the Contoso company and implement solutions. The Contoso company faces several challenges that affect user productivity and keep their IT infrastructure from performing at peak level. We'll focus on the identity and access management challenges that face this company and maybe even your own. Having identified the challenges, we'll then present some solutions that can have immediate and substantial benefits for end users and the IT infrastructure. By the end of this session, you should be able to recognize identity and access management challenges within your own organization and have a better idea of how to face them. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. Specifically, if you've managed user accounts and access across multiple operating systems, directory services, and applications within the enterprise, then you'll likely appreciate the challenges that Contoso Company currently faces. As we'll be working exclusively on Windows Server 2003 in this session, you'll have an easier time following along if you are familiar with this operating system and user interface. To cover the topics mentioned earlier and keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll start by looking at the identity management challenges for which the Contoso company has sought our help. We're talking about things like no strong password policy, users required to remember multiple passwords across various systems, and so on. As we go through this session, we'll address these problems one by one and present the appropriate solutions. Chief among these is implementing Active Directory. We'll explain our planning and deployment strategy for the Contoso company. Next, we'll talk about the different password security methods available and explain how group policy is a key player in this area. And while we're on the topic of group policy, we'll discuss how to use security templates to easily apply security settings to computers throughout the organization. So let's first talk about why the Contoso company has hired us as consultants and explain our approach. As consultants brought in by the Contoso company, we endorse and apply the Infrastructure Optimization, or IO, model. The IO model provides a path for aligning IT and business to create a mature infrastructure with an optimized balance of people, process, and technology, resulting in improved security, simplified operations and management, and greater cost efficiency for your desktops. Our first step is to see where each customer is in the model, and then evaluate solutions to help the customer move forward in the model by mapping goals to capabilities and infrastructure needs that are only achievable at later stages for the model. The IO model provides a simple way to use a maturity framework that is flexible and that can be easily used as the benchmark for technical capability and business value. The IO model is designed to help customers realize dramatic cost savings by moving from an unmanaged environment towards a dynamic environment. Security improves from highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. IT infrastructure management changes from highly manual and reactive to highly automated and proactive. Microsoft and its partners can provide the technologies, processes, and procedures to help customers move up through the infrastructure optimization journey. The process moves from fragmented or non-existent to optimized and repeatable. The IO model frees up resources and provides a foundation for organizational agility. Customers' ability to use the technology to improve business agility and to deliver business value increases as they move from the basic state up the continuum towards a dynamic state, empowering information workers and managers and supporting new business opportunities. By working with Microsoft and using this model as a framework, an enterprise can quickly understand the strategic value and business benefits to the organization in moving from a basic level of maturity, where the IT infrastructure is generally considered a cost center, towards a more dynamic use, in which the business value of the IT infrastructure is clearly understood and the IT infrastructure is viewed as a strategic business asset and business enabler. In this session, we are concerned with the identity and access management component of the core IO model. In order to move from a basic to dynamic environment, we must identify where we are and what we need to achieve to move to the next level. Currently, Contoso would be categorized as basic. There is no server-based identity or access management. Many users have administrative control over their desktop systems. There is inconsistent or limited password use at the desktop, and few enterprise identity and access standards. Let's take a look at the current identity management situation at Contoso today. We immediately recognize that Contoso is in a workgroup model, where different departments and groups manage their own servers. There's no centralized database of user accounts, and users have to remember different passwords to access different systems. This clearly illustrates to us that from an IO model perspective, we are working with a basic IT infrastructure, characterized by manual, localized processes, where one department may handle such things as backups and user account creation differently from another. As a result, their workgroup structure is rapidly expanding, and they're in danger of losing control of their environment. They are seeing an increase in operating costs as a result of account management. Each server and resource that appears on the network requires an individual to manage both the resources and access to it. These types of practices have led to minimal central control, making it difficult to implement enterprise-wide solutions, among other things. This can be a common issue with a company that grows rapidly. They started with the workgroup model because it was quick and easy to deploy, and at the time, they didn't really need anything else. Customers with basic infrastructure find their environments extremely hard to control, having very high desktop and server management costs, are generally very reactive to security threats, and have very little positive impact on the ability of the business to benefit from IT. Generally, all patches, software deployments, and services are provided high touch and high cost. Contoso exhibits another symptom of the basic infrastructure, where IT policies and standards regarding security, backup, image management and deployment, compliance, and other common IT practices are non-existent or not enforced. This leads to many different accounts with different password standards being created. Users often forget which passwords to use from which computer, and accounts with no passwords are security risks. There's also a general lack of knowledge regarding the details of the infrastructure that is currently in place or which tactics will have the greatest impact to improve upon it. Overall health of applications and services is unknown due to a lack of tools and resources, and there is no vehicle for sharing accumulated knowledge across IT. With a lack of guidance and infrastructure vision, some departments have deployed Linux machines to provide certain services fast, such as messaging and file and web hosting, at theoretically lower costs. From this information, let's list the specific challenges that we need to overcome. First, there is no single sign-on. Due to rapid growth, work groups, servers, and other network resources being deployed without regard to a centralized identity management infrastructure. So now each server and resource that appears on the network requires an individual to manage both the resource and the access to it. This has led to a lot of different accounts with different password standards being created for each system. Users often forget what password pertains to what computer, as we previously mentioned. Several non-standard computers have been deployed throughout the organization, prompting a need to manage identity across multiple platforms. The company wants to both increase security and reduce management cost, while at the same time providing a central platform for single sign-on to maintain these Linux machines until other applications can be deployed to replace them. Passwords are managed in a non-secure way. There are no password policies in place, and even if there were, there's no simple way to enforce them. Other security risks exist, such as some accounts that don't even have passwords. Due to the number of passwords users are required to remember, they may be stored in non-secured ways, such as written down on a sticky note and placed on or around the workstation. With the rapid growth of the company, IT resources are strained. When users forget a password, they frequently call the help desk to get their passwords reset. This problem must be addressed and a solution found that provides centralized management and control. Our goal is to implement a solution that addresses each of these challenges. First, we want to provide single sign-on, meaning that when a user logs on to his or her workstation, the same credentials can be used to access other servers and network resources throughout the organization. The way we'll accomplish this is by migrating from a workgroup model to an Active Directory domain model. While this, in and of itself, won't provide single sign-on to every resource on the network, for example, the Linux servers and even some legacy application servers, it will go a long way towards eliminating the need for users to remember multiple passwords and help alleviate strain on IT staff. In the future, we will want to have a full identity management solution in place so that we can centrally manage passwords for all computers, platforms, and applications. This will be covered in the next part of this webcast, where we'll look at Microsoft Identity Integration Server as the solution, but in the short term, we can get by with Active Directory alone. Our next goal is to provide the means to enforce password security. We want to not only centralize passwords, but also to secure them by making sure users use complex passwords that they are required to change from time to time. Furthermore, we want a centralized way to deploy and manage these password policies. The way we'll achieve this is through group policy, which we'll discuss in more detail later on in this session. The company is growing, which strains the IT staff to keep up. The solutions we implement must be centrally manageable, extensible, and easy to use. So how does Active Directory help us achieve these goals? A directory is a hierarchical structure that stores information about objects on the network. This directory service provides the methods for storing directory data, such as user and computer accounts, and making this data available to network users and administrators. Active Directory meets our three goals for the Windows-based computers at Contoso, which make up the majority of workstations and servers, by providing a centralized, scalable solution that is easy for IT to manage and that will continue to be easy to manage with continued growth. Active Directory provides single sign-on to other domain resources. With a centralized database and robust, scalable replication infrastructure, Active Directory is designed so that it can be easily distributed as more sites come online. Active Directory integrates with several key applications and network services, such as Microsoft Exchange and DNS. Contoso is currently evaluating Exchange as their email solution, so having Active Directory already in place will help facilitate deployment. Security is integrated with Active Directory through login authentication and access control to objects in the directory. With a single network logon, administrators can manage directory data and organizations throughout the network, and authorized network users can access resources anywhere on the network. Policy-based administration eases the management of even the most complex network. With powerful management tools, Active Directory can be managed locally or remotely. Furthermore, the directory can be partitioned and segmented to enable the delegation of administration. Active Directory provides scalability. In the future, Contoso may want to expand, which could make structuring the network difficult. With Active Directory, administrators can add to the existing network with simplified structure. A well-designed Active Directory logical structure provides simplified management of Windows networks that contain large number of objects, a consolidated domain structure, and reduced administration costs. The ability to delegate administrative control over resources is appropriate, a reduced impact on network bandwidth, simplified resource sharing, and a low total cost of ownership. So these are the challenges, goals, and solutions we intend to use moving forward. Next, we'll discuss the planning and deployment strategies we'll use to implement Active Directory at Contoso. Designing your Active Directory logical structure involves defining the structure and relationships between the forests, domains, and organizational units that you plan to deploy. Carefully designing your Active Directory logical structure enables you to minimize the time and effort required to implement Active Directory in your organization. In this way, you can establish an efficient structure that best meets the administrative needs of your organization. When you create the first domain controller in your organization, you're also creating the first domain, the first forest, the first site, and installing Active Directory. Creating a forest design involves first identifying the groups within your organization that have the resources available to host an Active Directory forest, and then defining your forest design requirements. Finally, you need to determine the number of forests that you require in order to meet the needs of your organization. Domains are used to partition the directory so that the information in the directory can be distributed and managed efficiently throughout the enterprise. The goal for our domain design is to maximize the efficiency of the Active Directory replication topology while ensuring that replication does not use too much available network bandwidth and does not interfere with the daily operation of the network. A small organization using a single local area network might need only one domain with two domain controllers for high availability and fault tolerance. A larger organization with many network locations will need one or more domain controllers in each site to provide high availability and fault tolerance. After you create your Active Directory forest and domain designs, you must design a DNS infrastructure to support your Active Directory logical structure. Windows Server 2003 requires DNS and uses it for name resolution instead of the Windows Internet Name Service or WIMS NetBIOS name resolution method used in Windows NT 4.0 based networks. It is still possible to use WIMS for applications that require it, however, Active Directory requires DNS. At Contoso, there is no existing DNS structure, so by deploying Active Directory, we've also laid the framework to enable DNS for other systems in the organization. Creating an organizational unit, or OU, design involves designing the OU structure, assigning the OU owner role, and creating account and resource OUs. Initially, we have designed the OU structure to enable delegation of administration. With this OU design in place, we've created additional OU structures for the application of group policy. We'll look more closely at OU design in a few minutes. Domains are a key component in Active Directory. They represent logical partitions within Active Directory for security and directory replication. Domains are unique names, like the domain names we're all used to seeing on the World Wide Web. Microsoft.com is an example of a domain name, as is Contoso.com, which is the name that we've given the Active Directory domain at Contoso. There is a one-to-one correspondence between Active Directory domains and DNS domains. Domains function as containers for Active Directory objects. Active Directory objects include users, servers, workstations, and network devices like printers. Each domain only stores information about the objects it contains, and while theoretically an Active Directory domain can contain up to 10 million objects, 1 million objects in a domain is the supported limit. Because all Active Directory users log on to a domain, domains are boundaries of authentication. Domain controllers are responsible for authenticating users and group passwords, and Active Directory provides single sign-on security throughout the domain. Domain-wide authentication means fewer lost passwords and fewer problems with configuring permissions. Domains are also policy boundaries. Security policies that are defined on one domain are not extended to other domains. This means that settings like administrative rights do not cross from one domain to another. Within a domain, information about objects is replicated between all domain controllers for additional security and redundancy. Important files within a domain may also be replicated to provide failover support without requiring expensive additional hardware. However, information is not replicated between domains. This means that domains are also boundaries for data replication. In short, domains define the borders of an Active Directory system. Domains provide seamless network services for users within the domain and offer good security against systems outside of the domain. We talked briefly about some domain design considerations earlier. Let's go back to this and explore it further. The first model we'll look at is the single domain model. This model is the easiest to administer and is the least expensive to maintain. It consists of a forest that contains a single domain. This domain is the forest root domain, and it contains all of the user and group accounts in the forest. A single domain forest model reduces administrative complexity by providing the following advantages. First, any domain controller can authenticate any user in the forest. Second, all domain controllers can be global catalogs. Therefore, you do not need to plan for global catalog server placement. A global catalog is a domain controller that stores a copy of all Active Directory objects in a forest. The global catalog stores a full copy of all objects in the directory for its host domain and a partial copy of all objects for all other domains in the forest. In a single domain forest, all directory data is replicated to all geographic locations that host domain controllers. While this model is the easiest to manage, it also creates the most replication traffic. A regional domain model allows you to organize your domains according to network connectivity. All object data within a domain is replicated to all domain controllers in that domain. For this reason, if your forest includes a large number of users that are distributed across different geographic locations connected by a wide area network, you might need to deploy regional domains to reduce replication traffic over these WAN links. The regional domain model enables you to maintain a stable environment over time, so base the regions used to define domains in your model on stable elements, such as continental boundaries. We recommend regional names because regional domain names tend to survive reorganizations better than domain names based on organizational divisions or other entities. If the entity the domain is named after is reorganized out of existence or renamed, something has to happen to the domain that carries the old name. By way of comparison, the single domain model is the easiest to administer, but utilizes the most network bandwidth for replication. Whereas partitioning the directory into multiple regional domains limits the replication of objects to specific geographical regions, but also results in more administrative overhead. There are other costs and implications associated with deploying multiple domains. First, there is a cost associated with the management of multiple service administrator groups across domains. Each domain has its own service administrator groups that need to be managed independently, and the membership of these groups must be carefully controlled. Next is maintaining consistency among group policies that are common to multiple domains. Group policy settings that need to be applied forest-wide must be applied separately to each individual domain in the forest. Maintaining consistency among access control and auditing settings that are common to multiple domains is also a challenge. Access control and auditing settings that need to be applied forest-wide must be applied separately to each individual domain in the forest. There's also an increased likelihood of objects moving between domains. The greater the number of domains, the greater the likelihood that users will need to move from one domain to another. This migration can potentially impact end users. After evaluating these implications, we've decided that a single domain environment is the most appropriate for Contoso. It is best to minimize the number of domains deployed in a forest. This reduces the overall complexity of the deployment and, as a result, reduces total cost of ownership. If necessary, we can deploy additional regional domains later on. This might come about if we create branch offices that may be connected to the headquarters site over a slow network link, for example. With this decision made, let's revisit and expand on our discussion on organizational units. Domains, trees, and forests are powerful tools for organizing systems in your network, but often you need even more flexible control over the network structure. Organizational units, or OUs, are containers that you can use to group together other objects. OUs can be based to organize users, computers, groups, printers, applications, file shares, and even other OUs. This means that OUs can be customized for virtually any network or enterprise structure. For example, each department of Contoso.com contains a group of users who use desktop workstations to access a specific group of printers, servers, and applications. By combining different types of objects, organizational units can be defined to contain all the resources used by each department. Because OUs can have their own administrators, policies, and settings, customized OUs simplifies enterprise-wide network management. Objects that should be managed by the same administrator can be grouped together, and authority to manage the specific OUs is delegated to an appropriate user by the domain administrator. For example, if the finance department at Contoso.com had its own IT staff, all directory objects belonging to the finance department could be grouped together and controlled by a finance department administrator. Delegating administration of OUs can distribute IT demands more efficiently. Group policy allows you to define settings for each OU in your enterprise. It allows administrators to implement rules and default settings that are applied to all objects in an OU. By using organizational units, you can easily apply changes and updates to specific groups without affecting other systems in the domain. Finally, by applying security configurations on a per-OU basis, you can improve the overall security of your enterprise. For example, Contoso.com hires independent contractors who need limited access to company data. By placing consultants in a single OU, we can easily define security configurations that allow contractors to use the systems they need while consistently limiting their ability to reach other parts of the network. So with this in mind, let's look at how we've planned the OU structure in the Contoso.com domain. The guiding principle that we've followed as we've designed the OU structure at Contoso is to create a structure that is easy to manage and troubleshoot. There are two key reasons to create an organizational unit. First, to enable delegation of administration, and second, to scope the application of group policy objects, or GPOs. Delegation of authority, separation of administrative duties, central versus distributed administration, and design flexibility are important factors we considered when designing the OU structure and planning for group policy deployment. It is recommended practice to separate users and computers into separate organizational units. This is useful since it simplifies GPO design because you need focus only on configuration of either users or computers, and typically users and computers are administered differently, perhaps by different groups within the organization, which facilitates administration. We've created additional OUs to provide even more granular delegation and group policy processing. For example, the Servers OU contains separate OUs for Exchange servers, Print servers, and SQL servers. We've also created separate OUs for various users based on their roles within the company. This will enable us to deploy group policy with greater ease. For example, we may create a policy that locks down various desktop features. With this OU structure, we can target only data entry users while leaving standard and power users unaffected. Finally, we've created OUs for the desktop workstations and laptops. This will allow us to design security policies that won't hinder roaming users. For example, we may create a policy that requires that the user logs onto the domain to use the computer. While this is a great idea for desktop workstations, it's not appropriate for a roaming user who may not always be connected to the network. So, here's what we've done so far. Deploying the forest root domain was the first step in deploying Active Directory in the Contoso organization. Essentially, by installing Active Directory on the first domain controller, we've accomplished this. After we deployed the first forest root domain controller, we deployed an additional domain controller in the same site to provide redundancy and load balancing. Next, although we allowed the Active Directory deployment wizard to create the DNS zone when we created the first domain controller, we've taken steps to review the settings and verify that DNS is functioning properly. We mentioned global catalog servers early on, but just as a reminder, a global catalog is a domain controller that stores a copy of all Active Directory objects in the forest. The global catalog stores a full copy of all objects in the directory for its host domain and a partial copy of all objects for all other domains in the forest. In a single domain forest, the database content of the domain controller and global catalog server are the same. Therefore, to load balance client lookups across global catalog servers in a single domain forest, ensure that all domain controllers are global catalog servers. Knowing this, we designed the second domain controller as a global catalog server as well. Active Directory uses operations masters to keep the directory functioning properly by performing specific tasks that no other domain controllers are permitted to perform. There are three operations masters roles for each domain and two for each forest. In a single forest with a single domain with a single domain controller, all five operations master roles are held by the domain controller in addition to global catalog duties. If all domain controllers in the forest root domain are global catalog servers, such as in our environment, you should leave all five operations master roles on the first domain controller and designate the second domain controller as the standby. If any domain controllers in the forest root domain will not be global catalog servers, move all operations master roles from the first domain controller to the second domain controller and ensure that the second domain controller will never be a global catalog server. Design the third domain controller as the standby and never make it a global catalog server. In the next demonstration, we'll review the organizational unit structure that we've created in the contoso.com domain. In this demonstration, we'll review and discuss the OU structure for the Active Directory domain that we've created. We'll start with a quick review of the current Active Directory OU structure. The Active Directory Users and Computers MMC allows you to administer and publish information in the directory, including user and computer accounts, security groups, and organizational units. Default groups are located in both the built-in and users containers. The built-in container contains groups that are defined with domain local scope. Domain member servers and workstation computers are automatically added to the computers container. Other users and groups are stored in the users container. The users container stores several default users, such as administrator and guest, as well as security groups, such as domain admins and domain users. Any new users or groups that we create will be placed here by default. The domain controllers container stores both domain controllers for the contoso.com domain. We are currently working on the DC01 domain controller. We've created a separate OU for domain member servers and child OUs under the server accounts OU for additional server types. This will allow for easier delegation of authority and group policy application in the future. We also have a separate OU for user accounts. As was discussed a moment ago, new user accounts are placed in the users container by default, but there is a way to redirect them to a different location, such as the user accounts OU. For now, we will manually place new user accounts in the appropriate OU as needed. At this point, we have divided user accounts into three subcategories: data entry users, power users, and standard users. This will allow us to target specific groups of users for group policy application in the future. For example, if we decide to implement strong lockdown policies, we'll be able to target users in the data entry users OU, while allowing users in the power users OU a less restrictive environment. Similarly, we've created a separate OU for workstations in the domain. Again, this will allow us to implement a desktop lockdown policy for standard desktops without interfering with the needs of the IT department or roaming users. We'll come back to this shortly, but for now, let's return to the presentation. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Next, we'll look at how we're going to implement password security at Contoso. First, let's talk about the types of challenges that face many companies, including Contoso. One or more of the following issues is typically present in organizations with poor password management practices. First, weak, easily breakable, or even blank passwords are in use. Workstations may not require a logon, and password-protected screensavers are scarce. Users are not required to change their passwords frequently enough, which means that attackers can compromise the passwords through brute force and cryptographic attacks. Users have several passwords and possibly different logons to remember to access various systems, making it difficult to remember them all. This leads to passwords that have been written down, which means that they can be easily compromised. You may have even seen someone with a sticky note on the monitor or desk with their username and password on it. Ultimately, this leads to confusion on the end user's part and numerous calls to the help desk for password resets, resulting in increased operational costs and decreased efficiency. So, what can be done to address these challenges? As with most complex IT issues, there are many ways to approach password management. However, no single approach will solve all related problems for every organization. For each password management mechanism and process, either a security or operational trade-off exists, sometimes both. Most password management solutions require a combination of approaches to reach the intended goal. An important factor in working towards better password security is the creation and implementation of an organizational password policy. We plan on implementing a password policy that does the following. Enforces strong passwords. A strong password is at least 7 characters long, does not contain the username, real name, or company name, does not contain a complete dictionary word, is significantly different from previous passwords, and contains a combination of upper and lowercase characters as well as symbols and numbers. Ensures that passwords are changed frequently. Prevents immediate password reuse by maintaining password histories, and incorporates a password lockout policy. Active Directory group policy settings provide a mechanism for ensuring that users must change their passwords at regular intervals. Password change is a similar process to password reset, except that with password change, the user typically must authenticate to change his or her password. Therefore, the password change process does not have to identify the user. There are 3 main ways that users can change their passwords in a Windows environment. Use the Change Password button in the Windows Security dialog box. Respond to the Change Password Notification message dialog box. Or change the password through a web-based interface that is implemented with a Meta Directory product, such as MIS 2003 with Service Pack 1. We will talk about MIS 2003 in the next webcast of this series. In a heterogeneous environment with several identity stores, the password change must then replicate to multiple locations. Organizations can take one of several approaches to address password reset requests. Obviously, the simplest solution is to avoid the need for password resets in the first place by educating users and ensuring that password policies are not too complex. However, there will always be some need for password resets. The common approaches to this problem include self-service, where a computer in a common location such as a lobby or mailroom is configured as a common-use kiosk with an application that asks users for authentication information and then resets their passwords. The way most organizations do it is through the help desk. Each time users want to reset their passwords, they must call the help desk. The cost of this solution is high because of the labor involved, but the cost also remains flat over time. A software-based system that facilitates the automatic processing of account resets is also an option. The system monitors the accounts and waits for a specific condition to occur, such as an account lockout or even a password expiration. At that time, the system generates a new password and provides it to the account holder through some secure means, such as an encrypted email sent to the user's manager or to a trusted help desk operator who then calls the user. Password synchronization is a process that applies both to password reset and password change. Password synchronization is an operation in which a plain text copy of a password is extracted from one location and then placed in one or more credential stores. Password synchronization can then occur in one of 2 ways. One-way password synchronization, or password push. Changes to the password in one central system are intercepted and pushed to one or more additional stores. Bidirectional password synchronization. Changes can be made in either store and then replicated to the other. Although bidirectional password synchronization might seem appealing because of its flexibility and bidirectional nature, it can cause additional organizational and technical complexities. On the organizational side, users may not be certain where they should change their passwords. However, this can be a benefit because in a properly implemented system, it does not matter where the password is changed. The technical challenges include how to implement special software on each platform that will avoid infinite loops. An infinite loop occurs when a system changes a password and then replicates the change to another system, which also changes it and replicates the change back to the first one. Security concerns also exist when passwords are stored in multiple locations because one security breach could lead to compromises in multiple systems. An alternative to password synchronization is credential mapping. This technology accepts the passwords or other credentials such as X509 certificates will be different in various systems, but it provides an easy way to switch from one credential to another. You can generally implement credential mapping technologies on the client or by using middleware. The solution that we have chosen is group policy. Group policy will allow us to enforce strong password requirements, password expirations, and account lockouts. We'll also be able to configure other security-related settings through group policy, such as a setting that enables password-protected screensavers on all workstation computers. Keep in mind that our Linux servers and legacy application servers still exist and are not yet integrated into the single sign-on and secure password environment. In the next session of this webcast series, we'll address this. Let's go through a demonstration that covers what we've just talked about. In this demonstration, we'll review and configure group policy settings and deploy our password security strategy. The next order of business in helping the Contoso company with identity and access management is configuring some group policy security settings. When you install Active Directory, two group policy objects are created automatically. The default domain controllers policy, which contains settings that apply to all domain controllers for the domain, and the default domain policy, which contains settings that apply to all users and computers in the domain. The default domain controllers policy typically has more restrictive settings to enhance security and protect domain controllers from misuse. We'll go ahead and configure some security settings on the default domain policy. The settings that we modify will be computer configuration settings, meaning that they will affect all computers in the domain, regardless of which user logs onto them. Password policies determine settings for passwords, such as enforcement and lifetime. The default settings promote a more secure environment than what you may have seen in the past. For example, strong passwords of at least 7 characters are required, password history is remembered for 24 passwords, and passwords will expire every 42 days. Account lockout policy settings determine the circumstances and length of time that an account will be locked out of the system. By default, this feature is not enabled. For now, these default settings are appropriate for the domain. Group policy allows you to configure nearly every aspect of the user desktop experience. Where computer policies affect all computers, regardless of which user is logged on, user policy settings apply to domain users no matter which computer they are using. One thing that we'll implement across the domain is password-protected screensavers. This will help protect users' sensitive data when they leave their workstation for a prolonged period of time. Many policy settings have an explanation associated with them. This is handy since enforcing one policy setting may affect other policy settings or may not work unless other associated policy settings are similarly enforced. For example, by implementing this setting, we're enforcing screensavers for all users. However, unless a valid screensaver is configured on the computer or specified through group policy, along with the screensaver timeout value, this setting by itself accomplishes nothing. We'll go ahead and enable this policy setting. Now we'll specify a screensaver that is present on both Microsoft Windows XP and Windows Server 2003, logon.scr. This is a simple screensaver that shows the operating system logo. The next setting enables password protection for the screensaver. This forces the user to re-enter his or her password to unlock the workstation once the screensaver turns on. The final screensaver-related setting that we must define is the number of seconds to wait to enable the screensaver. We'll set the value for 10 minutes. Now let's move to a Windows XP workstation to test the group policy enforcement. First, we'll log on to the domain as the user Aaron Kahn. If we look at the Screensaver tab on the Display Properties dialog box, the screensaver is set to run after 10 minutes and be password protected. Because we enforce these settings through group policy, they cannot be changed from the local computer. These are just a few of the settings that you can configure to enforce a more secure and easy-to-manage infrastructure through group policy. As this series continues, we'll revisit the Group Policy Management Console to configure additional settings that will help us realize a more robust environment and standardized user experience for the Contoso company. Let's move on to the final agenda item. In the final part of this session, we'll review and deploy Group Policy security templates. Security templates enable you to define file representations of a security policy. With the security template snap-in for the Microsoft Management Console, you can create a security policy for your computer or for your network. It's a single point of entry where the full range of system security can be taken into account. The security template snap-in does not introduce new security parameters. It simply organizes all existing security attributes into one place to ease security administration. Importing a security template to a group policy object eases domain administration by configuring security for a domain or organizational unit at once. Several default templates come with the Windows operating system and can be used to harden workstations, servers, and domain controllers. You can also create new templates or make copies and modify existing templates to meet the needs of your organization. Each template is saved as a text-based INF file. This enables you to copy, paste, import, or export some or all of the template attributes. With the exceptions of Internet Protocol security and public key policies, all security attributes can be contained in a security template. Using the Security Configuration and Analysis snap-in or the SecEdit command line utility, you can apply security templates directly to the local computer. This enables you to standardize security settings on systems before they join the domain, or to apply settings that they do not want to cover with group policy. This also reduces the chances of configuring the wrong setting by manually editing the local security policy. Using the Group Policy Object Editor, you can import a security template into the Security Settings section of Group Policy Objects. This enables you to use pre-configured templates to create stronger security settings in your GPO. You can use security templates to compare and analyze the security settings on a local computer. The Security Configuration and Analysis snap-in allows you to insert a security template into a database that can be used to compare the settings in the template with the applied settings on the local computer. So let's see a demonstration on this. In this demonstration, we'll deploy a security template to the Workstations OU. Templates of all kinds are used to implement standards. Security templates allow you to create and implement standard security settings, both on individual computers as well as across an enterprise. Security templates are text files that can be edited with Notepad or any other text editor. However, Microsoft has created an MMC snap-in that graphically displays the settings just as the Group Policy Object Editor displays them. By default, the Security Templates MMC snap-in points to the local computer's system root /security/templates folder. Windows Server 2003 provides several pre-configured security templates. These include the secure and highly secure templates for workstations and domain controllers, among others. For this demonstration, we'll be using an existing template and modifying it to meet our needs. In this scenario, that means providing a more secure environment to the desktop workstations throughout the organization. So let's start by saving the secure workstation template as a secure desktop template. We'll then work with this new template file. The settings in this template are more secure than the security settings in the default domain policy. For example, passwords can only be changed once every 2 days, and the minimum password length is 1 character greater than the default domain policy setting. Also, where the default domain policy does not configure any lockout settings, this template imposes a lockout after 5 attempts, and the account is not unlocked for 30 minutes without administrative intervention. This template also configures a strong audit policy that is designed to both detect failed attempts at accessing the system and its resources, as well as recording successful actions that can later be used for forensics. One further setting that we want to deploy is to restrict a user's right to use the automatic update service on workstations. This will prevent someone who has local administrator access on his or her computer from disabling this service. So first, we'll set this service to start automatically when Windows starts. Now, in order to make sure the service is not disabled or stopped by the members of the local administrators group, we'll first remove their rights altogether. In its place, we'll put domain admins. This will give the domain administrators the ability to start, stop, and configure the service without the risk of it being stopped or disabled by users. This will be enough for now, so let's save the template. Now that we've configured and saved our security template, let's look at how to deploy it. First, we'll create a blank GPO and link it to the desktop's OU. Later on, we can define custom security settings for the IT and laptop OUs if needed. Now we have a blank GPO linked to the desktop's OU, so let's go ahead and open it. From here, we simply right-click the Security Settings node and select the Import Policy menu command. Next, we'll select the Secure Desktop Security template that we saved earlier, and the settings will be imported into the GPO. Going into the Security Settings container, we can check that the automatic update service is set to start automatically. Through group policy, we've created a secure environment for users throughout the domain. Let's return to the presentation and see what's next. Let's review what we've accomplished so far. If we refer back to the infrastructure optimization model, we can see that we've met our goal of moving the identity management infrastructure at Contoso from a basic environment to a more efficient standardized one. By deploying Active Directory, we've essentially achieved single sign-on, and users are able to accomplish what they need to do more quickly than ever before without needing to remember different usernames and passwords for different systems and network resources. By implementing group policy, we have password security policies that are both easy to manage and enforce, as well as keeping the environment more secure. And finally, the tools built into Active Directory allow for IT staff to enjoy centralized, scalable management that allows them to perform administrative tasks locally and remotely across the enterprise. With this infrastructure in place, Contoso is poised to move to a rationalized environment where they can extend Active Directory, deploy additional management and inventory tools such as SMS, and synchronize their legacy applications and Linux systems with Active Directory with MIS. That just about wraps up this session. We started a day with an environment that had several identity management issues to overcome. By deploying Active Directory, we enabled a single sign-on solution, allowing users to access other servers and network resources more readily while reducing the strain on IT staff. And through group policy, we've implemented password security settings that require users to use strong passwords that change frequently. This significantly reduces security risks associated with weak, non-expiring, or even blank passwords. We also deployed a security template to the workstations as a simple solution to enhancing security for those computers. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. You can also visit www.microsoft.com/technet/HOT-11 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available for Microsoft. You can find some informative books on the Microsoft Press website, such as Active Directory for Microsoft Windows Server 2003, published by Microsoft Press, is a detailed reference for network architects and administrators implementing Enterprise Directory Service. The Microsoft Windows Group Policy Guide, also published by the Microsoft Press, provides the in-depth information you need to use group policy to administer your enterprise system, direct from industry experts and the Microsoft Group Policy team. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and Visual Studio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft certification program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified Systems Administrator, or MCSA, or Systems Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers these SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager, to cover these changes in more detail.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The news group page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.